Hello, everybody. It is Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined for our weekly Zeiss is Right video by Paul Zeiss, Post-Gazette sports columnist. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. We're going to get into some Najee Harris talk. What are the Steelers' options with him? Could they consider dealing him if for some of their other needs, possibly another receiver? Would that actually be something that other teams value? I think, you know, that's a fair question. Anytime you're talking about possibly trading Najee Harris, is what is his value on a bigger market than just the Steelers, with him, you know, having his fifth-year option declined recently? We're going to get into some Justin Fields. Could the Steelers develop a package for him, maybe a little bit of Pat Freiermuth and where he fits in this new Arthur Smith offense? Then we're going to be talking Pirates, Ben Cherington, the team that he is overseeing. How's he doing? Before we get into all of that, just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. All right, Paul, we're going to get into it. I think this is going to be an unpopular topic with some of our viewers, because every time we bring up Najee Harris, they say, no way they're going to get rid of him. No way they're going to trade him. No way they're going to let him walk in free agency next season, even though they declined his fifth-year option recently. The 1-2 punch of Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren is too good to give up. Listen, I get why people feel that way and why they'd want to keep Najee Harris around, but we're just telling you what we think the Steelers are going to do when they decline a fifth-year option and what their general attitude seems to be. We could be wrong that the Steelers could want to re-up Najee Harris and sign a deal before training camp. But for now, I think most people that report on the team every day are operating under the assumption that Najee Harris is not long for being with the Steelers. So if that's the case, Kurt Popejoy of Steelers Wire wrote this week, Paul, that they may want to consider trading him and getting something for him rather than letting him walk for nothing, especially considering you have a big need at wide receiver. That's something I'd be in favor of if the Steelers have really decided they're done with Najee after this season. However, you know, Paul, for the same reason the Steelers don't seem to value keeping Najee Harris around, don't you question whether another team would give the Steelers much of value for 1 year of Najee Harris?
Adam, that's exactly the point. Is the market for a guy who is a running back, number one, and number two, he's not signed past this year. He's basically a straight rental. That's what he is. And so I don't know that any team's going to give you a whole lot of value for him. I can't imagine whatever you think you're going to get for him, that it's going to be better than having him on your team this year. I would say if you could get a fourth round pick for that, I don't think you could. But if you could get a fourth round pick for that, you would probably be doing really, really well. And then you've got to ask yourself, is having a fourth round pick for next year better for your team than having Najee Harris on your team for this year? And I don't even think it's close. And I think the other thing about all of these discussions about trading them and, you know, whatever, they don't take into account the most important thing, which is the Steelers have made it very clear they are playing to win this year. So, you know what? They've got a quarterback who's basically a one-year guy. You know, they've got a running back who's a one-year guy. Depending on what happens, they might have a defensive end that's a one-year guy. It is 100%. 100% all in this year to try and win. So to me, you're not going to trade Najee Harris or any other key player, because whatever happens down the road is not nearly as relevant as what happens this year. So to me, long answer, I know, but you're not going to get a lot for him. What you're going to get is probably not going to be something that's going to help you this year. And they are all in about winning this year. So I don't think it's even something that would be in the discussion.
Do you think, Paul, it could be a situation of, as we sit here, no one's gotten hurt yet. Teams don't need running backs. And so, you know, there's not a lot of pressure for teams to move for him. You think it could be a situation where, hey, someone goes down in training camp, maybe a team, comes up with more of a need, or maybe even during the season, because you have the trade deadline. To me, if they're going to move him, that's probably when they would do it. It would not be now. It would not be before training camp. It would be if a need arises somewhere else and someone's willing to maybe get a little desperate and part with more than what we're talking about to get him, and then maybe you can parlay that draft pick into something else. It just seems like a lot of steps, though, still.
Right. And I couldn't even think of a team that's really running back heavy. But say there's a team that has that's really reliant on their running game. Their running back goes down and they feel like they need a running back really desperately. Maybe. I still don't know how much they're going to give you for him. And again, I still think it comes back to everything the Steelers have done to this point and are doing. Every single thing they've done and are doing, it's about winning this year. So Najee Harris, whether you like him, hate him, whatever, makes them a better team this year than not having him. Because I don't know that at this point in the off season, you're going to be able to get a replacement that's better.
Well, and let's talk about some of the guys who are out there, Paul, because I think that kind of reinforces the point. Cam Akers is still a free agent. Kareem Hunt, Damian Harris, Matt Breida, Latavius Murray. Do you look at the fact that all of those guys are still free agents and say, I mean, that really reflects that you're probably not going to get much for Najee Harris? Because why would a team trade for Najee Harris when you can get one of those guys for just a little bit of money?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's sort of how they feel about running backs. You know, I mean, that's how these teams feel about running backs. They're not going to – all of those guys will be on someone's team this year. But, you know, as we go further and further and further in the offseason and get closer to the season, they start to get a little bit more desperate, and all of a sudden, watch what their price tags do. They're going to go way down. I mean, a great example is Tyler Boyd, who started free agency. I think he was asking for about $12 million. And guess what? When it became very clear that, you know, the market was starting to dry up, what did he sign for? $4 million, I think, right? Or $3 or $4 million, I think it was, right? That's what happens. All these teams just put the squeeze on these guys. So, you know, to that point, I don't know. Maybe there's a guy out of one of those guys that sort of you could plug in if they traded Najee Harris. You could plug him in and be the second guy to Jalen Warren. But I don't think any of those guys are as good as Najee Harris just because of his age. He's a little bit, you know, still got a little bit left in the tank. I just think the Steelers want to have the best possible team they can have this year.
Yeah, I think Najee Harris is better than all those guys too. It's just the acquisition cost. You know, why would another team want to pay what the Steelers might want for Najee Harris? I think if Najee Harris does get moved, it's going to be in the context of, he's going to get thrown in with draft capital, right? Like the Steelers, if they want to trade for Brandon Ayuk, they give the 49ers a really solid draft pick. And then maybe Najee Harris makes a difference at the margin, right? But it's not going to be a football trade where you're trading Najee Harris for Brandon Ayuk straight up. And then, you know, maybe having draft picks below that are of lesser value. I think it would be Najee Harris being the throw in piece, right?
Right. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing to me. We're to the part of the off season, Adam, where content creators need content, which is where you come up with these kinds of these kinds of things. Hey, let's throw this one out there, and of course, it's going to get guys like you and I, and guys like Joe Starkey and I, who do a show together. It's going to get us to talk about it. But realistically speaking, I mean, you're a pragmatic person. I'm a pragmatic person. We look at things probably very similar, you know, in many ways. I just think there's so many moving parts here that many of them don't add up together. I just don't see it. I just don't see how it could happen.
Paul, let's get into Justin Fields. There's a lot of talk, especially because Russell Wilson has endorsed the idea of the Steelers developing a package of plays for Justin Fields to have in the offense, even when Russell Wilson's healthy. even if Russell Wilson's the unquestioned starter. It just an opportunity to get Justin Fields on the field. What are your thoughts on that and disrupting the course of the normal offense? Because, I mean, my reaction is let's see them get things right with Russell Wilson first. And then, you know, if you can find a way to get Justin Fields on the field, great. But how long have we watched the Steelers offense scuffle, you know, without having one quarterback established? Let's get one quarterback established and go from there. It's kind of my opinion.
You know, Joe Starkey is all in on the idea that, they, you know, let's put together a package of 7 or 8 or 10 plays a game for Justin Fields. And I'll be honest with you, I am 100% with you, Adam. I just think that, first of all, those gimmick plays that you do, you know, if you throw one or, you know, one at them here and there, I have no problem with that. You know, you're in, you know, inside the 10 in the third week of the season, you have a couple of little plays where you throw Justin Fields in there down on the goal line, to, you know, whatever. But how about let's just play football, you know, and run the offense the right way. Run the offense the right way. And, you know, let your quarterback be your quarterback. Let him hand the ball off. Let him throw the ball. And all these little gimmick plays that people want to have for Justin Fields, if you want to throw one in here and there, okay, fine. But I don't want to say, I don't need to see that. And frankly, Adam, what we've seen a lot of times in the NFL, those kind of packages, after about 2 or 3 times when teams have seen them, they have a whole lot less effect. The other part of it is I don't like the fact of taking your quarterback who might be in rhythm or is trying to get in rhythm off the field, or taking the conventional offense that's trying to get in rhythm or maybe is in rhythm off the field. I don't like that. To me, if I'm Russell Wilson, I want to be able to get in rhythm and play. And, you know, again, you want to have a couple of plays here and there where we throw Justin Fields in as a little bit of a change of pace. Okay, I can live with that. But this other stuff is, I don't want to see, we've got a package of 10 plays for Justin Fields, and the fourth series, we're going to, you know, put him in there and see what happens. Well, what happens if the third series, your offense finally starts to get going? You know what I mean? You're going to take them off the field again? It makes no sense. I get why people are intrigued by it, but there are very few teams that play that way. The only thing I can even come close to is Taysom Hill. And the thing about that is Taysom Hill wasn't really a quarterback. He wasn't your backup quarterback. That's the other thing that people aren't taking into account. If you put Justin Fields out there for 8 to 10 plays where he's going to be running around and trying to make things happen with his feet and scrambling and maybe even running the ball a little bit, you're putting him at risk to get hurt. And then you have your backup quarterback hurt. If something happens to Russell Wilson, the whole reason you brought Justin Fields here was to have an insurance policy. You've now taken your insurance policy out of the equation. So I'm just telling you, I understand the sentiment, but I hate it.
Paul, it's also not as if Russell Wilson's like a statue back there either. I mean, I think if it was a question, if you have a pure pocket passer, a guy who can't move, then maybe I could see you saying, well, let's use Justin Fields out there to give defenses a different look. I don't know that Justin Fields is giving you an entirely different look than you already have in there with Russell Wilson anyway.
Right. I mean, again, he's a better runner, you know, but again, if he comes in, teams are going to know he's probably going to try and run the ball. After about 3 or 4 times of seeing the formations, they'll know when he's going to try and run it, when he's probably going to try and throw it. Then all of a sudden, those plays go out the window. So, to me, Russell Wilson, you brought him here to be your starter. Let him be your starter. Let him be your guy.
Are you buying the – there's a lot of talk about Pat Freiermuth this week. Can he be, you know, one of the elite tight ends in the league in this Arthur Smith offense? To which I say, I mean, Kyle Pitts was not exactly lighting things up in Atlanta. Famously, if you're a fantasy football fan, you're probably frustrated with Kyle Pitts' production, that he was not, you know, in that Travis Kelce, George Kittle mold of production. Should we maybe pump the brakes on that a little bit, Paul, or are you bullish on what Pat Freiermuth can be in this offense?
Well, for tomorrow in the Post-Gazette on Friday, I'm writing a column exactly about that, about the tight ends. You know, Because I'm not sure, looking if I, as I've gone back, I'm not sure I've seen enough of a track record in Arthur Smith's offense. The tight end suddenly all become, the second coming of Gronk. I'm not sure I see evidence of that. I see that he uses a lot of tight ends. I see that he's got formations with tight ends, but I don't know that I see evidence that, over the long haul, that necessarily tight ends are going to dominate this offense or whatever. Now, that being said, I think it'll be good for I think it'll be better for Freiermuth than the last offense he played in. But the question with Freiermuth isn't about his ability to produce. It's his ability to stay on the field. I mean, he can have a great season for sure if he can stay on the field, which he hasn't been able to do yet. So we'll have to see what that, if he's able to do that, yeah, I think he'll have a decent year. I think he'll be a good, a good player for the Steelers. But he's got to be able to stay healthy, and he hasn't been able to do that yet.
Paul, let's get into the Pirates, talking a little bit about the bullpen and Ben Charrington's work with that. Before we do, I want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up-close and personal learning. Top-ranked Northeast Public College by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available. Located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. What does it say about Ben Charrington, Paul, that the bullpen still stinks this far into his tenure, when Neil Huntington seemed to be able to make strong bullpens kind of with ease? Even when there were terrible Pirates teams, and then the early part of that rebuild, he was able to put decent bullpens together. This team's supposed to be trying to win, and you have situations like you did in that series against the Giants last week where everyone's melting down, and even no lead is safe, even when you got your Jared Jones and your Paul Skene starting.
Yeah, I think that it's a little alarming to me. By the same token, I still go back to what we talked about last week and the week before. You spent $10.5 million on Aroldis Chapman. That to me is the most unforgivable sin about the whole entire bullpen. I mean, to me, you can find bullpen arms here and there, and there's guys that you can plug and play in your bullpen. You spent $10.5 million for a guy who is a luxury item to begin with, but also is getting older, clearly isn't the guy he was 5 or 6 years ago. But you spent that money to stabilize your bullpen. And let's face it, if Chapman's doing his thing and Bednar's doing his thing, right, now you generally only have to get maybe 6 outs or even 3 outs out of, whatever – conglomeration or whatever of the other six bullpen arms or five bullpen arms that you have. You only got to get 2 innings or one or two innings out of that group. The problem is Chapman's been bad. He's been somebody who has blown leads. He's been somebody that's caused, Derek Shelton to have to take him out of the game and therefore use other arms. I mean, that to me is the biggest sin. And I'm going to tell you this much right now, Adam. If Chapman doesn't get better, okay? If Chapman continues to be the guy that, he's lights out today. The next time he goes up to the mound, he blows up like, the Bills in a Super Bowl. To use Joe Starkey's phrase, he blows up like the Bills in a Super Bowl. If he continues to do that, where he's not effective, and he walks too many guys and he gives up leads or he puts leads in jeopardy. He does that. I'll be honest with you, and they miss the playoffs. That's a fireable offense in my mind, signing him to that deal. Because you're a team that can't afford to pay. You're a team that can't afford mistakes that cost $10.5 million. You just can't.
Well, yeah, I think you start there, Paul. I think you look at the rest of the bullpen and you look around this entire team. What does Ben Charrington do better than Neil Huntington at this point? Is there one area that you can point to and say, well, the Pirates are a lot better now than they were 5 years ago in this category or that category? Because I don't see it. And that's not to say that Neil Heineken was any great shakes toward the end of his career here. I think he made a lot of mistakes. But I look at this team and say, I don't know where Ben Cherington's done a better job than where this team was in 2019.
Well, he's really good at drafting the number one overall pick when there happens to be a stud there that it's a no-brainer. I mean, that's about all I got, Adam. I mean, Cabrian Hayes was a Neil Huntington guy, right?
Yep.
Nick Gonzalez, I think, was he, or he was a Cherington guy.
I think he was drafted under Huntington and then developed primarily by
Pan. He's a Huntington guy. I mean, you know, Reynolds was brought here by Huntington. McCutcheon is a Huntington guy. Actually, McCutcheon is a Littlefield guy. I mean, really, if you look at this team, I'm not sure what he's done to make it better. That's the alarming thing, other than draft Paul Skeens. So if you want to tell me, okay, he made it better by drafting Paul Skeens, congratulations. I'm pretty sure, Adam, if you were a GM and you've never run a team before, last year when your pick was up, you probably would have picked Paul Skeens too. I'm saying, like, there are some picks you don't get credit for, right? Like, I forget whoever was general manager way back when Sidney Crosby was on the board. You don't get credit for drafting Sidney Crosby, right? You don't get credit the next year for drafting Malkin. You just don't. But
I think the one guy they have, Paul, who's trending toward being a clear win is Jared Jones. Right. You know, you got to give him credit for that. But that's all. You also got to put Jared Jones in the tapestry of Ronzi Contreras and Quinn Priester and Luis Ortiz and all these other guys that you had a lot of hope for that didn't work out up here. And I also keep coming back to Mitch Keller and how long it took for them to unlock him.
Right.
You know, it took several years to get him where he needed to be. And if they repeat Mitch Keller's trajectory with these other top pitching prospects, it's going to be years before the Pirates are really where they want to be.
I honestly think one of the biggest problems that they have, I just don't think that they've got a great staff. You know, to me, if they miss the playoffs again, at some point you have to just, you know, Oscar Marin and Andy Haynes have to be the fall guy. And you have to change maybe some of your philosophies and how you develop players and some of that stuff. So I can't give you an answer as to what I think he's done better because I don't know that he's done anything better.
Yeah, I agree. Paul, I'll just get you out of here on this. Any thoughts on the NCAA settlement and what it means for the local teams? You think it's generally a good thing for Penn State, for Pitt, for West Virginia, generally a bad thing, or you think it's maybe good for Penn State, maybe not as great for the other two because they're not in the power conferences?
I think it's not great for anybody except for the athletes. And the reason is because administrators are not very creative when it comes to finding a way to work through financial changes. And I hope I'm wrong, but one of the knee jerk is probably going to be some men's Olympic sports are going to get cut. As these athletic departments, maybe not at a place like Penn State, but at a place like Pitt, you know, some of these athletic departments are going to look at how can they tighten their belts a little bit because let's face it, they now all have to come up with X amount of dollars for this settlement. You know, I think it's $20 million. And they estimate that the teams will get between 12 to 14 million more once the 12-team playoff hits. Okay, well, they got to make up a $5 or $6 million shortfall at the very least. And so at that point, it's like, okay, where can we find this money? There's a lot of ways they can find money. But as you know, there's always the knee jerk that says, well, baseball or, you know, track costs us $7 million a year, whatever. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Track costs us X amount of dollars. Let's get rid of it. That's just that's going to be, to me, I think it's going to be what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, the NCAA has only themselves to blame. Because had they done little things along the way to adapt their policy on amateurism and whatnot, if they'd done that along the way a little bit at a time, we wouldn't be sitting here. We wouldn't be sitting here with NIL. We wouldn't be sitting, you know what I mean? If 35 years ago they would have just agreed to say, 40 years ago they'd agreed to say, listen, we're going to give every player a little stipend, right? $1,500 a month or whatever, something like that. We're going to give every player that. If they had done something like that, if they would have loosened some of the rules, like, you know, kid goes home for a funeral, we're allowed to pay for him to get a flight and come back. You know what I mean? Or whatever. If they had done something like that, if they'd have done something like, well, if we're going to do NCAA games, you know, players should get $200 or $250 way back in the day before all this stuff is out of the bag, you're going to get $250 from EA Sports. You know what I mean? For your image or whatever. I mean, if they'd have done little things like that along the way and got out ahead of all of this lawsuit stuff and everything that has gone on over the last, say, 15, 20 years, we wouldn't be sitting here. They have only themselves to blame because they were so arrogant and so insistent that they were going to be able to keep all of the money to themselves, right? And that nobody would ever rule against amateurism, that this is where we're at, Adam. So I think, you know, schools like Pitt and West Virginia, and to a lesser extent, even Penn State and Ohio State and those schools, they're going to have to do some belt tightening for a while until they figure out how to navigate through this.
I'm hopeful for some of the sports, Paul, because I think look at the facilities budgets. That's where this money's gone for all these years. Now I think these teams are going to have to deal with the facilities that they have, especially beyond football. And then how many, every time I get an email when Penn State hires someone in their athletic department, there's like these athletic departments have become so bloated as well with some of these extra administrators. I think there's going to be an opportunity to cut some of those costs. And those are costs that probably shouldn't have existed in the first place. And that money got spent by a lot of these athletic departments to kind of not make it look like they were making as much money as they did. So they can come out and say, oh, we lost money operating our athletic department last year. Some of this is, I think, spreadsheet, gimmicks.
Well, it is. There's no question about it. There's enough money. But again, they're not very creative in how they spend it, and they're not very creative how they make it look on paper.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. Paul, thanks for joining me. I know you got to go. Great discussion there on Najee Harris, and we will talk to you again next week.
Oh, man, thank you. We'll see you.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.